John, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Tony?
I'm doing very well. You know what I find very funny? You're a young guy. You're 38 years old. You got a big job. You got a big family. You're a smart guy, but you know you made it big time when people are hijacking your Twitter account.
You know, my 14-year-old's getting a good kick out of following that Twitter account.
It's like, Dad, you're like Lindsay Lohan.
He goes, hey, Dad, guess it was on Twitter today. And I said, oh, John, don't look at that. But I do have, I feel older than I am, I think.
Well, you know what's funny about that? The same thing happens to Tim Skubick. He's got a blog at the Oakland Press. So I guess you know you've made it in the state of Michigan when people who don't agree with your policies are trying to hijack what you say.
Well, I'm glad that's the measure of success. I feel good then.
Well, thanks so much for being with us. I know that you're busy. Thanks for taking the time to chat with us. Well, let's talk about the budget. The one thing that's really kind of hit me like a ton of bricks over the last couple of weeks in talking to not only state representatives, state senators, people who work with you is that we have an almost $2 billion deficit, and even though we want people to live and stay and be educated and have their jobs and bring their businesses to Michigan, before we can do all that, we've got to balance the budget, and it appears a lot of people don't understand that yet.
Yeah, you know, really, you've got to have a stable environment to really have long-term sustainable growth. And Michigan has had a very unstable environment over the last decade. We've had, you know, a perpetual $1.5 billion shortfall or for funding gap, meaning we've been plugging a $1.5 billion hole with one-time money over the last 10 years, really. And what that does is it really doesn't give people confidence in the tax system, because government pays its bills one way. It goes out and gets taxes. And so as long as government's operating outside of its bounds, you know, with outside of its available resources, it makes people nervous. And certainly we know that companies aren't willing to expand or grow or relocate into an unstable environment. So the first step is to get the budget into balance, exactly as you said, and to get a tax system that's stable and a tax structure that people understand that's simple, fair, and efficient. And then you'll start to see that economic growth.
Well, if it's taken 10 years for us to get into this boat, how in the world, and we've got a place to blame on our elected officials because they've allowed this to happen, how are you going to change that culture? It's only been 4 or 5 months.
You know, and I don't want to say it's all been bad either, because Michigan's done some good things. And, you know, over the last decade, we've been dead last in funding or revenue growth in the country. We've also been dead last in expenditure growth. So, you know, it's not all bad, but it is a difficult situation that we're in. You know, what we've done is we basically took the budget and we made the tough decisions. We basically started from a clean sheet of paper and said, okay, we've got this much of a funding gap. We're going to come up with the reductions to meet that funding gap. We worked with the agencies. We didn't do any knee-jerk reactions. Everything we've got in the budget, we feel very we don't feel happy with, but we feel like we can defend it, and there's a thought process on why we've done it and presented it that way. And really, we presented a really solid budget. I mean, if you look at where we have been and where we are, I was doing a couple of phone calls yesterday with a couple of the rating agencies in New York that do the state bond ratings, and they're very impressed with the steps that we're taking as a state. You know, we've got to make sure the legislature acts on the budget, you know, at least the principles that we've presented to them. But I think if we do that, we're going to be in a much stronger position than we have been.
John, what about a flat tax? What about raising the retail taxes on what we buy by a penny, increasing other taxes slightly to help out with this?
You know, what we didn't, we knew that we had... We put forth a pretty comprehensive tax overhaul, as you've heard and are very familiar with. And we needed to do that. We knew that there was going to be enough changing there that we did not want to raise any taxes to cover the shortfall. We just wanted to raise the taxes and keep that revenue neutral, meaning, you know, what we were reducing, we wanted to increase an offset, a corresponding amount. We did not really want to go in and raise taxes to cover the shortfall, because really, you know, Michigan's just beginning to get grip. You know, we're starting to get traction to climb out of this. We're projecting growth now for the first time in a decade, and we didn't want to pull more money out of the economy than we had to, because certainly that's less money that's out there being able to be used to spur economic activity.
What do you do to battle the thought that the middle class, the union folks, if you will, the teachers, the firemen, the police, they're the people who are taking all the hits, and the company owners, the big fat cats, are being given all these tax concessions, and they're allowed not to pay their fair share?
Well, the main thing is yeah, it's more... The debate out there is kind of the retiree, you know, population, because we are recommending to start taxing pensions, or taxing pensions a little bit more than we have in the past. And the whole reason for that is, if you look at the demographic of Michigan, we're the, you know, only state in the last decade to lose population. And yet our growing segment of our demographic population is in the senior area. Now, we love our seniors and they spend money. We understand that. But what's happening is, more people are retiring. You're moving people off of the tax rolls and putting the bill towards those who are left working, which is your shrinking demographic. And so by not reindexing, or by not reshuffling your tax structure, you're really setting up a long-term system that's unsustainable. And so if it's not addressed now, it'll have to be addressed in the future. Now, as far as the working folks, that, you know, the unions, the state employees, you know, the issue there is that with state employees, for example, over the last decade, as I've said, our revenue's been flat. You know, in the general fund, the growth during that same time, the state employee contribution, or the state contribution for employee health care, has doubled, and average wages are up 28%. Now, that's not to speak ill of that, but it's important to put into perspective that while revenues have been flat, that our costs for employment have gone way up, and that's why we have an internal pressure, because the pie is only so big.
Well, in talking about taxing retirement monies, I understand where you're coming from, although there are a lot of folks who disagree with that and feel that you should be taxed there. But wouldn't it make more sense to tax something that everyone uses, like a sales tax, as to picking on this or that?
Well, we already tax, and we already have a sales tax, and you've got to look at the capacity there. There's, you know, not a lot of capacity left, and basically you could expand it to services. But again, that's something that's been talked about, and that is talked about. But again, we didn't want to do any general sales tax increases or general tax increases. What you have with the plan that we proposed is that you're basically taking those who are benefiting from state services, and you're attributing the costs and the tax, the opportunity to pay. When you have folks who are retiring at 52, 53 years old, and they're not paying tax until they're 90, you know, or until they pass away. And so, you know, it's a system that's nice, but as that growing demographic keeps growing, it's going to put more pressures on the system. So, you know, that's really the thought process that we put out there. We know the legislature's talking about it. You know, they'll come out with their proposals, and we'll work through that process.
All right, before we let you go, John, I saw the dialogue between you and Tim Skubic, some friendly chatter, if you will, about your salary. You have a large salary, and I know it puts you on the spot trying to justify that, but how did that make you feel, being attacked about that?
You know, I don't know that I was attacked. I knew that that was going to be a discussion point when I came out to Michigan. You know, the bottom line there is that I wasn't looking for a job. The Snyder administration really felt like I was the right guy to take this job. And so we looked at what would be a fair salary. And certainly we feel like we're coming in, we're doing the job, we're doing what needs to be done. And, you know, I know that we're going to have to justify it. And then I have no problem, you know, doing that. As I mentioned to Tim, you know, my paycheck will be, whether it's justified or not, will be seen over the next year to two. We're making some pretty good headway, and I think I've got a big job here. And certainly, I know it's a large salary, and I knew that you know, it, it was going to be discussed, and so I don't feel attacked. But I do think that it's something that, we, the governor and I, agreed to, and we'll just move forward.
I think it's $250,000, somewhere in that ballpark. Do you feel that, you know, the next year or two you'll show that was justified?
I think we're already showing it. We're already showing it. I think with the budget we put out, the budget that we put together is one of the most solid budgets in the country right now. I mean, if we get this enacted, we've got a budget for 2012 and 13 with no one-time money in it, meaning that that budget is in structural balance. It's solid. We're through cutting, and assuming that the economy is going to start growing again as it is, you know, we can't absolutely predict the future because you just don't know what's going to happen. But as we're moving forward under the current assumptions we have, the economy is going to start growing, and we've got the budget right size now, so we shouldn't have to go back to the cutting scenario.
Well, fascinating conversation, John. Thanks so much for your time. I look forward to doing it again.
Hey, thank you.